Thank you very much, Brian. Now, my next guests are cousins from the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv, but they're now thousands of miles apart, one in a city on the Ukrainian-Slovakian border and the other in Mallow in County Cork. Natalia and Dasha, you're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us this morning. Dasha, I'd like to start with you because in Kharkiv, when things started to become very bad where you were, you left and you travelled west. And as I said, now you're over near the Slovakian border. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Hello. And thanks for the opportunity to talk to you and to talk to the whole world, and especially Ireland.
Will you tell me a little bit, Dasha, about how the situation is for where you are now? Have we lost Dasha on the line? The line appears to have gone to Dasha. We'll get back to Dasha, though, in a moment. I'll come to Natalia now. Natalia, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
You are Dasha's cousin. You're originally from Kharkiv, aren't you? But you've been living in Ireland for a long time. How long have you been here?
I've been here from 2000, and you very have... happy person. Yeah, happy person. I'm fairly developed and... was my family from husband from Latvia and two kids from born and raised in Ireland.
Okay, now tell me a little bit about your family who remain in Ukraine. Who is there?
Everyone I know. I have cousins, sister, my mother, my brother-in-law, a lot of cousins, and mostly in eastern Ukraine. Yeah, I am Kharkiv person, and my sister felt that the war could move. Just the danger was closing around for a few years, so she moved to Kyiv. She moved all her life in Kyiv, and took my mother, who is 86, under her wing. But Kyiv was attacked at the start of the war, just a few days after. Bombardment starts around the airports, and people just have to make decision if they have anywhere. They actually been lucky that someone was giving them connection in the western Ukraine. Mm-hmm. There is a cottage you could stay and wait it out. So have no interest to move out of the country. They have all the livelihood built very well.
Of course, of course. I mean, who would want to leave their own country? But they find themselves in this situation where they have to now in many cases. So your sister and your mother, have they left Kyiv now?
They just left Kyiv by car at the beginning of the move. It was like my 86-year-old mother never traveled that far in the cars, and they stayed up. I don't remember, 17 hours in a car in the queues and moving slowly down through the checkpoints. But they're coming, they're safe now.
Well, your cousin Dasha is back on the line. I don't know, Natalia and Dasha, if you'd like to say hello to each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, Natasha, it's so great to hear you, and thanks for all the support.
Yeah. I appreciate so much support.
Yeah. While I'm online, can I just tell what is important?
Yeah,
I would like to say that I was born in Russia. My native language was Russian. All our relatives, they talked and they spoke Russian, and we have never met any aggression regarding this. Never. Even now, when Russia just arranged this genocide in Ukraine, they treat us well. I mean, Western Ukrainian people, they meet us, they help us, they provide their houses, they provide food, and we are all together, you know. We have never felt such a spirit of community in our country.
Dasha, you, as we were saying there before the line dropped, you've left your city, you've travelled a very long way over to the Slovakian border with your two young children. Were you able to bring many of your belongings even?
We just took our documents, and we haven't planned this escape from Kharkiv. We were going to stay there, but then I understand that this was the only one opportunity, because my husband, he was away at that moment. And so I just moved from one city to another, changing the transport, and I just had a name to save my kids. That's all. Mm-hmm.
And how are they? Do they understand what's happening?
Yes, they understand, but I don't think that they are so damaged as all the children that stayed and still are staying in Kharkiv and Kyiv.
And your parents stayed behind in Kharkiv to continue working?
Yeah, it was their decision from the very beginning. They are not going to leave.
Will you tell us a little bit about what they do?
Yeah, my mom, she works at the maternity hospital, and my father works as a doctor in a cardiology centrum. So they just do their job, that's all.
And can you still contact them today?
Yeah, thanks God we can get in touch. This is the most important.
And where your mother is in that maternity hospital, how are conditions there today?
Today they have broken windows, but they continue working. They have a good food supply and medicine supply thanks to their volunteers and the donations of specifically your country and the company that sent money and volunteers. And so they have food, they have medicine, so that's, and the conditions of work, yeah, surely they are in danger.
Yes. And Natalia, for your mother, who, as you said, is 86, and your sister, I know you explained that they've left Kyiv now. Are they planning to cross the border?
Well, it's freezing conditions at this stage, so my sister thinking standing in the queues could be taking hours, 5, 6, 8 hours, we don't know. So she will wait for a couple of weeks until temperature will be warmer. That she tries to cross in about 2 weeks' time, yeah.
And the plan is that they will come and live with you in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'm going to meet them on 16th. I'm flying. I'm trying to, when they come in, I have to say that I have offering them my house, of course, yeah. Mm.
I can't imagine what it's like for you in Ireland, your mother and your sister over there and the rest of your family as well. You know, your cousin, as we can hear on the line. I mean, have you been able to sleep, Natalia, over the last couple of weeks?
My phone is next to me and I'm just listening to their conversations. And the first thing I heard, ladies are hiding in the basement. There's no heat. They just have a dog to hug and listening to bombardment around. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what could it be worse? And then they say, oh my God, there's people having babies in the hospital. Just in the best time of their life, they have to be hiding them in the basements. And after 2 hours of cesarean sections, ladies have to come down in the basement, hiding their babies. This is just horrendous. And I thought, I just said, like I said around to my husband, obviously, and my family, and then the friends in Ireland just jump on to my connection, and I have people, my neighbors, everybody I ever come across in my life, all together, in London, in Cork, anywhere, they all start writing to me wishes, and they say, so, tell me how we help. And there's Damien Moylan, in my husband's boss engineer. He said, Natalie, I have 1,000 euro. I give you now. Send it over. And then he said, I do collection. And he put the boxes. He put a message around the company in BCD Engineering Moscow Group. I have to say thank you to the people there. They're all listening out now. Everybody donate 1 hour of their working time. Box the donations in the boxes, and come up to 4,000 euro, then director doubled the amount, and they happily send it straight in 2 days, mm-hmm. collection, and they just send it out. Ira, my cousin, provide the bank account. It's hospital, it's not any personal bank account, so everybody trusts.
Yes, and so goes directly to hopefully the hospital, that will help. And that's the staff at BCD Engineering in Charleville, where your husband works. And then your cousin Dasha, what are you doing now? You're volunteering, even though you're in a strange place, but you're still trying to help.
Yeah, I'm trying to help because I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to cross the border at the moment because for the moment it is safe here. And these people, they help me. They provide their house.
That's why I can be helpful here for the refugees who are standing in the queue, and they are cold, they are hungry, they are tired, and we just try to keep them well, you know, emotionally and physically. Yeah. And I want to say thank you for all the Europeans, because it, for the first, it was so difficult to understand that Russian relatives don't realize what's going on. You understand? And all this support, it just helps to keep the spirit, you know, our Ukrainian spirit, because we are strong with this.
Dasha, can I just ask you about that? Do you believe and do you know that Russian people, your own relatives, don't understand what's happening in Ukraine?
Firstly, I didn't believe this. I didn't trust that I thought they lied to me. And firstly, I think that they don't have real information. One part of them, another part of them just don't want to realize this. Another part are just they are afraid of the punishment. I don't know, but it's just incredible, because it's not war, you know, because Russia attacked meanly. They just pour Ukraine with bombs, rockets, and all the distant fire they have. Mm-hmm. They bomb everything, destroying our civil cities, our women, children, babies, old, sick people, because this is not a war with a strategy, with a tactic. It's not. It's just a genocide of Ukrainian people, and we need to understand that Russia won't stop and that it will go further.
Okay. Dasha, thank you very much for joining us from Ukraine, and your cousin Natalia,
thank
who is living in Mallow in County Cork. Good to talk to you both, and look after yourselves. We were talking to the Labour Party TD Brendan Howlin and Bill Browder about the Magnitsky Law, which Bill Browder wants to see enacted here. We have a statement from a spokesperson for the Minister for Justice. Here's some of it. The EU sanctions regime was agreed in December 2020, and while not explicitly labelled Magnitsky, it follows a similar pattern to that of the United States. Given the general policy of Deputy Howland's bill, it's ensuring that those committing gross human rights abuses should not have impunity. The government didn't oppose the bill at the second stage. However, it's important that any new law in this area would be implementable and effective. The government would, of course, consider the bill again if it's tabled at committee stage by Deputy Howland and the Labour Party. And further news from the Labour Party in the past few minutes, the Labour TD Ivana Bacik has confirmed that she will run for the leadership of the party. She's the sole candidate so far, and she wrote to party members this morning to inform them of her intention to seek a nomination. The Dublin Bay South TD was first elected to the Dáil in a by-election last July. Time for a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.